Hi, and welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne, here with Kirk Langford. Hi, Kirk. How's it going?
Hey, I'm good. Suzanne, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Good.
Today on the podcast, we want to talk about how frontline leaders can motivate their teams.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I wanted to let you know that it is Step Into the Spotlight Day. Do you know what that is?
I actually don't know. I've never heard of that. So
yes.
Do tell.
Yeah. So there's a book and it's called Step Into the Spotlight, A Guide to Getting Attention.
Okay.
Which was published in 2008.
Uh-huh.
This day encourages people to sharpen their skills, join the limelight, and to grow their business.
Okay. Interesting.
So speaking about bettering ourselves, I wanted to roll with our first question being, why is it important for frontline leaders to know what makes their team members tick?
Oh, good question. And I like that kind of connector there. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but I think this is the book that's talking about how all business is show business. So you have to be willing to kind of like put on a bit of a show and put yourself out there and stuff. This is coming to me as you were explaining
maybe
that.
You've heard of it.
I think have actually. Yeah, I can't say I've read it, but I think I have heard of it. So, but a great first question. I mean, why do you need to know what makes your team members tick? It's a pretty simple answer in that you need to know what motivates your people in order to motivate them, right? We're talking about motivation. Mm-hmm. How to identify motivation and then follow through with it on your team. If you don't know what motivates the people on your team, then how can you possibly then try to motivate them? You're going to be throwing darts in the dark. You're going to be stumbling around blind, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying to see what sticks. And if you take the time to get to know what motivates your people, then I think you're going to have a lot more success and sort of efficiency, as it were, in motivating them.
Mm-hmm. How would you get to know what motivates people? I mean, is it just as simple as talking to them and asking them, like, hey, what motivates you? Or is this a time where when you would maybe go on a performance review or just a simple one-on-one conversation every once in a while, like touch bases?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Oh, perfect.
I mean,
on
all
right
of those
track.
Things, right? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's all of those things because at the end of the day, some people would love to fill out an anonymous survey about what motivates the people on the team, right? In other cases, people would prefer a nice, not casual, but a less formal one-on-one where they get to just say, hey, here's what I'd like to see more of, or hey, I'd like it if you did this more often. I would feel, you know, more motivated or appreciated or whatever it is. In other cases, it's in a team meeting saying, hey, folks, what would it take to motivate you? What is it that makes you tick? So I think all of those are accurate, or maybe not accurate, but all of them are correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just depends on, not just depends on, I think I would say do all of them. Right? Don't just rely on one-on-ones, but also don't just rely on surveys or don't just rely on written feedback. Why not ask in lots of ways? One of the reasons I say that is because if I said to you immediately, Suzanne, what motivates you?
Right.
You might not have an instant answer to that, because you might not even be sure yourself. You might think, well, gosh, I have to think about that. What has motivated me in the past? Oh, well, you know, one time it was that one boss that really knew how to kind of make me feel valued and really push me to go further. Oh, another time it was that job that paid really well and the pay was kind of the big motivator there. So also recognize that I think learning what motivates your team is an ongoing process for two reasons. One is because, like I just said, not everybody knows immediately what motivates them just off the cuff. That's kind of a deeper question sometimes. And B, that can change, right? What motivates somebody in the first 6 months of their job at a new role in a new position might not be the thing that motivates them a year in or 2 years in or 3 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be open to letting the motivators change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be open to taking time to learn them and recognizing that just asking point blank isn't necessarily going to be, an example that I would give of that is someone that maybe if you ask them, hey, would you like me to recognize you in front of the group more often? I think a modest person might say, no, you don't need to do that. That's weird, because it's a very direct question to ask. And yet you might notice that when you do praise them in front of the group, when you do acknowledge their accomplishments or their achievements, they seem to like it. Maybe they have a bit of a smile on their face and, hey, I'm getting recognized. But when you ask them point blank, they're not going to go, yeah, I really need you to praise me in front of the group more often. You need to do that more. And so sometimes there's an underlying message there that you might have to listen for to go, well, he doesn't necessarily say that he's motivated by this, but I know from my observations that sometimes he feels better when his work is acknowledged in front of the group, or she responds well when I take that extra moment to give her a pat on the back for a job well done.
Mm-hmm. No, great stuff. So when you talk about different things that can motivate people and finding out what motivates people. What do you think are some different things that can get people excited for work?
Oh, there's so many.
Or excited to come to work too, right? Because that's what we want. Like not just the work they're doing, but to be there with the people. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think there's a lot of different things. I mean, there's just recognizing or acknowledging the work that they do, right? Celebrating. Mm-hmm. And that can be, like I just was talking about, that could be privately. That could just be pulling you aside and going, hey, I just wanted to say you were awesome last week and I really appreciate the work you're doing. It could be acknowledgement in front of the team or in front of the department. So recognition or acknowledgement or celebration, I think, are important things. I think people having work that they enjoy, so meaningful, not just enjoy, that they enjoy, but that's also meaningful to them. And maybe also that challenges them. And I don't mean challenges them in a really, it's really hard and they can never really reach success within that job, but something that just gives them new things to think about, new problems to solve, because it's easy to get bored in a role, right? It's easy to get bored in a job. And when we think of some manufacturing positions, there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of doing the same thing, sometimes for hours and hours. And so if there's a way we can inject some kind of variety and a bit of a challenge to it, that can make us feel a little bit more motivated or excited. So definitely recognition, acknowledgement, or celebration, work that people find challenging or interesting or meaningful as well, right? Mm-hmm. I think they're coworkers. Honestly, it's something that just sometimes people like going to work because of the people they work with. And so if you're a leader trying to make a team that people enjoy being around, can, mm-hmm. that in and of itself can be a motivator. What else is there? I think providing opportunities for improvement or growth. So I mentioned kind of challenges, but also opportunities maybe that lead to a promotion or maybe a lateral move so that somebody can work towards a position that maybe they weren't open to before because they didn't have the skills or the knowledge, but now they do. And so help giving people those opportunities through, you know, cross training or other things like that, allowing them to take part in training. And then I think another one is really people just understanding the value of the work they do. Because in a lot of companies, we try to remedy engagement and we try to remedy involvement and motivation with, you know, the typical pizza party and, you know, we're having a potluck lunch. How fun is that? Sure, it's a bit of a Band-Aid and it can make people feel better in the short term. But I honestly think there's a lot of importance in just understanding the value that you provide. So especially when you might work in a bigger company, it can feel like you're just a number. And your leader taking the time to make you feel valued by saying, this is how you fit into the bigger picture. This is where we'd be if you weren't here. This is how you play a part in what we do and how we're successful as a company. I think ultimately that's a really big motivator, mm-hmm. That you're not just expendable and that we do value what you do and how you do it. So I think knowing the value of the work they do allows people to be productive and contribute to, you know, something bigger than just themselves. And I was just listening to a podcast the other day where, you know, someone mentioned that one of their number one reasons for wanting to work in the field that they chose was literally because they wanted to feel part of something bigger than themselves. And I think we often think of people as being very selfish and they just want to think about themselves and work for themselves. But I actually think there's a lot of people where that's not true. And they actually really want to be part of something bigger. And so getting in on that and being able to be acknowledged for that and being told how they fit in and the value that provides is a really good motivator.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So say I'm a frontline leader, mm-hmm. and I'm figuring out what's motivating my team. Mm-hmm. I'm recognizing, providing opportunities, right? All these great things that you said. I'm doing all these things. Now how can I tell if my team is pumped up from all this or maybe dragging a little?
Well, hopefully if you're doing all of those great things, hopefully your team isn't dragging, but I suppose it certainly still could happen, especially if, you know, if you're a leader listening to this right now and you're thinking, oh, these are changes I want to make on my team. These are things that I want to start. You may notice that at the beginning, those initiatives, celebrating more, acknowledging more, you know, finding, giving people an understanding of the value, that can actually be met with some skepticism because people get really used to the conditions they're in often quite quickly. And so if they're used to a more cynical, pessimistic, non-celebratory, we only deal with putting out fires environment, then when you start to celebrate and whatnot, it can almost be met with that, what's going on here? Why is Suzanne suddenly all bright and cheery and trying to build on positives? That's weird. And so, you might find there's a little bit of a drag, but hopefully you're finding them pumped up. But there's two lenses to answer your question. there are two lenses I would look through to tell if your team is pumped up or dragging. The first lens is the productivity lens. At the end of the day, we are all at work to get a job done, right? We're all there to make the business successful, to try to get the work done that we need to do.
Right.
And so that's the first lens, is the work getting done and is it getting done well? So as a frontline leader, you want to think about what are the KPIs or the metrics that you are responsible for, you and your team are responsible for. Are you achieving those KPIs? Are you hitting those metrics? And if not, then we have a problem, right? Because even despite all of our everything we might be doing to pump people up, it's not allowing the work to get done, or it's not allowing the work to get done any better than it was before. So I think productivity is the first lens we have to look through. Then the second lens is team member satisfaction. So not just is the work getting done, but do people enjoy being there? And not just do people enjoy it from a, oh, I really love going to work. That's not what I mean. I don't mean kind of a rose-colored glasses definition of enjoy, but I mean, do they find meaning in their work? Do they find importance and value in their work? Are they meaningful contributors to the team? When there's a problem, does everyone just sit back with their arms crossed and say, well, this is for the boss to figure out, or do they try to jump in and solve the problem? Is there a collaborative spirit? And so I think you can look through both of those lenses. Is the work getting done, which is kind of first and foremost what we have to think about and what we have to achieve, but also is the team enjoying getting the work done? And I think the reason I bring those both up is because if you have a team where motivation is low, they might still get the work done. So productivity might be there, which is good. The work is still getting done, but it's probably not being done very well to a high quality or a high caliber. And if we're not thinking about the team member satisfaction piece, then that often leads to high turnover. So yep, we'll get the work done, and then we get tired of working here, and there's nothing really keeping us here, so we jump ship. But if you can manage to have both that high productivity as well as that strong team member engagement or team member satisfaction, you're much more likely to get the work done, get it done well, and have people who enjoy getting it done and who want to stay part of the team. So those are the lenses I would suggest looking through to know really, is the team doing well, or is the team in need of you know, more motivators and more help from the leader to do that?
That's really great. Lovely. Love these two lenses. I haven't heard that actually before. So that's a great way of looking at things. So now my team is motivated and we're pumped up and we're getting things done. KPIs are going. Now what's next, now that I've figured out what gets my team going?
Right. Well, you sit back and relax because you've done the work.
That's what I love
wouldn't
to hear.
Yeah. No, it's certainly not the time to sit back and you know, rest on your laurels and just sit there and go, oh, I did it. I got my team motivated. I think you want to then think about, if you focused on short-term motivation and you focused on, hey, I've got a team that I need to turn around, and you know you have turned around to some degree, you want to think about what's going to cause them to stay motivated in the long term, right? And I think there's three things I would say. The first one is going back to what we talked about. Make sure people understand the value of the work they do. Some of those other motivators I mentioned earlier definitely lend themselves towards a more short-term motivation, but I honestly think one of the strongest motivators in the long term is people understanding the value of the work that they do. Mm-hmm. And that can be tricky for a frontline leader sometimes to express, because sometimes they're not even sure. I mean, we work with organizations where even the frontline leaders don't necessarily know the value of the work they do, because their managers and their directors and the VPs haven't expressed it to them. So then they're saying, well, how do I help my team understand their own value when I don't necessarily understand my own, and it's not something that's regularly communicated? So it can be a challenge, but as best as you can, and sometimes it means going to your own manager and saying, hey, I'm trying to motivate my team. I want them to understand their value. Can you help me with that? Can you help me define that? Can you help me clarify that? So that would be the first part. Make sure your people understand the value of the work they do, what they're bringing to the table. Okay. Second thing, I've got three, by the way. So that was the first one. The second one is, when the team experiences wins or gains, celebrate them, even small ones. As frontline leaders, we spend a lot of our days putting out fires. So we're running from negative thing to negative thing, and we focus on what's wrong, broken, or missing all the time. That's one of our awesome instructors, Jason McKenzie, always talks about, we tend to focus on what's wrong, broken, or missing, instead of what's going well. And what that leads to, I think, is a lot of pessimism and a lot of negativity on the team, because you're constantly putting out fires. So what do you constantly talk about? The fires you're putting out, and you're trying to correct and you're trying to fix, rather than sometimes taking a moment to step back and go, what went well today? What worked? What was really positive about today? What things can I celebrate with my team? And so that's the second part, is when things go well, even small things, make sure you take the time to celebrate and acknowledge the team.
I think that will be maybe a more difficult one for people, because in general, we tend to look at the negatives too, right? So it's a really great tip for people to put themselves in a spot, like you said, take a step back for a second and really focus on.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, you know, in our training, one of the questions we tend to ask people is, what percentage of things go right in a given day? We just sort of ask it point blank. You know, we don't give a lot of prefacing to it. We just ask them that question. And most of our frontline leaders, they give a number, like sometimes 95% of things go wrong in a day. That's what they say. And we sometimes, we stop and we say, okay, so let's think about that. If 95% of things were going wrong, like really wrong every day, most businesses wouldn't survive. Now, obviously, businesses do fail all the time, but most or a lot of businesses are quite successful. And these are the clients we're working with. And so there's this underlying belief that things are just always going wrong, and there are way more things going wrong than there are going right. I think that comes from us having to spend so much time putting out the fires. You tend to think that all there are fires. Because you're not seeing the employees that are just doing the work without being asked. You're not seeing the employees that solved a problem that they didn't even have to bring to you as a leader. You don't tend to think about that. You think about the ones that got brought to you and say, oh gosh, I'm always solving problems. I'm always putting out fires. So as a leader, like you said, it can be a challenge. You have to reframe your thinking to go, okay, what actually went well today? Oh, actually, you know, I had an employee that used to be an attendance issue. You know, there was an absenteeism issue, and I haven't had to talk to him about that for 6 months. Wow, I didn't think about the fact that that's something I can celebrate because it's something we've improved on or gotten better on. And so I think that's where the second piece comes in, is find those small wins, whatever they are, and celebrate them. Now, I know sometimes we get a bit of flack for this, and people see it as wishy-washy and, oh, so you want us to just celebrate someone for showing up to work. Oh, you want us to celebrate someone for just doing their job.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, we do want you to focus on the positives, because we tend to thrive more on the positives than we do, rather than constantly being negative, reminded of the negative. So I'm not saying someone walks in the door and they get a standing ovation. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, if something was an issue and it's gotten better, recognize that it's gotten better. And not everything has to be, again, a giant ceremony of gratitude. It could just be a quick, hey, I know that there was that absenteeism issue a few months back. I just wanted you to know that I've noticed it's gotten better, and I just want to say I appreciate it. You haven't given them the gold star. You haven't, you know, gotten them on the employee of the month page. You've just given a quick acknowledgement that you've noticed something move positively. If we're afraid that people's egos are going to blow up because of a little bit of positive reinforcement, I think we're on the wrong track. And I think we need to reframe our minds to go, we're often dealing with so much negativity, right? Not just the leaders, but the employees, right? Because it trickles down, that that little bit of positivity isn't going to be suddenly everybody's soft and suddenly everybody wants constant positive feedback at all. So then the third one, if I if I could just finish there.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. We're talking about the third one to keep your team motivated for the long haul.
So first one was make sure they understand the value of the work they do. Second one is celebrate wins, even small ones. And the third one is regularly challenge your team to learn and grow. Because this is going to create long-term motivation. And what I mean by that is, as a team, you should notice not just any particular member of the team, but as a team, you should be constantly growing and improving. And that means that you should be getting better at collaborating. You should be getting better at solving conflicts, or maybe there are just fewer conflicts, or when there are conflicts, you solve them more collaboratively. You should be getting better at giving feedback to each other. Basically, as a team, you should be able to look at your where you were 6 months ago versus today and go, have we all improved? And so I think the, in order to get there, in order to do that, you have to be constantly giving small challenges to your team. And I don't mean completely giving someone something new or different every week. I just mean small little things where I go, you know, I would have taken care of that before. It's a small thing, but hey, could I ask you to take care of that? Something that, you know, would be good for you to know how to do. Can I ask you to take care of it for me? There's one small task or one small skill that now someone else on your team knows how to handle, and it's a little challenge for them. And then it's also a reason to celebrate, like going back to number two, when they then succeed, great, you get to challenge. You get to say, hey, you accepted the challenge and you rose to the occasion, and that's awesome. So as a team, we want to see continual growth and progress. And so I think those three things are going to be really strong long-term motivators. So sorry for the really long answer, but hopefully that all makes sense.
No, that's great. Thank you so much for all your insight today on motivating teams. And thank you for joining us today on Leader Feeder. I hope you found our insights valuable. And until next time, see you then.